morning, Henry.
Morning, sir.
Have you seen my sister?
No, sir, what?
I wondered if you'd driven her into town. Her bed hasn't been slept in, you know.
No, sir, I asked Madam whether she'd want the car. She said she was going by train.
Yes, I know, but I can't understand why she hasn't returned. I hope she hasn't had an accident or anything.
It's time for you to take your place on the jury as Bristol Myers, makers of new Boat toothpaste, invite you to consider your verdict. Wake up to new whiteness, new freshness. Wake up to Boat.
My lord, gentlemen of the jury, on the 14th day of May 1965... Mrs. Margaret Johnston let it be known that she was paying a visit on a man called Arthur Wheeler in order to discuss a commercial proposition. She was seen to depart by her brother, Mr. Peter Wilson, and their gardener come chauffeur, Henry Saddle. There is evidence that she boarded a train to High Wycombe Station. She was seen to leave the said High Wycombe Station, and that, my lord, gentlemen of the jury, was the last time anyone saw her alive. In leading evidence for the Crown, it will be my charge to prove beyond any doubt that the reason for this 60-year-old woman's disappearance can be labeled as one of murder. It is our contention that the prisoner at the bar, Arthur Wheeler, killed and then dismembered the body of Mrs. Margaret Johnston. Why? You will hear of Wheeler's desperate financial straits, that Mrs. Johnston demanded the return of £1,000 she claimed he had obtained from her. Without more ado, I'll call the deceased woman's brother, Mr. Peter Wilson. Mr. Wilson, and the court sympathizes with you in your bereavement.
Thank you. I still cannot believe it really happened. I still hope and pray there is some mistake.
I am afraid, Mr. Wilson, that the facts have been too well established. Now, sir, you and your sister shared house, you know?
Yes. When Larry, Margaret's husband, died, I invited my sister to come and live at my house. After all, we were both getting on in years, and there was little point in keeping up two establishments.
Right. Now, Mr. Wilson, I would like to refer to the 14th of May. I would like the court to be given something of the circumstances. Now, I understand that your sister declined an invitation to go to a cinema that afternoon.
Yes, it was over breakfast.
More tea, Peter?
No, thank you, Margaret. I must remember to tell Henry to cut the hedge.
Well, there's no reason why he shouldn't. You're not using the car this morning, are you?
No. We could walk down to the cinema this afternoon.
Cinema?
Yes, you remember, they're showing that Peter Sellers film. I thought we'd go to the matinee.
Oh, it's kind of you, Peter, but I'm so sorry. I forgot all about it. I've arranged to meet that man, Wheeler.
Wheeler? Oh, the man you met at the art exhibition.
Yes. He's putting my money to use in some factory or other, and I don't like the idea of it.
Money? Oh, really, Margaret, you are impossible. Giving strength...
Oh, Peter, please, don't question me about it. Anyway, we're talking it over this afternoon. I've arranged to meet him at High Wycombe.
So you'll be needing the car?
Oh, good heavens, no, dear. Much easier by train. I'd arrange for a cold lunch as the world is on holiday. Is that all right with you, Peter?
Yes, perfectly. What time will you be back?
Oh, I don't really know, dear. I'll leave something in a casserole for you in case I'm late.
I went to bed about 10, got down to breakfast. I was a little surprised at not seeing my sister. Of course, with our cook general on holiday, our routine was rather disrupted. I thought I'd take my sister a cup of tea, thinking she'd overslept. She wasn't in her room. The bed hadn't been slept in. I could hear our gardener pottering about, and I called from the window asking if he'd seen her, whether she'd had a very early appointment in the village. He hadn't. At this stage, I became quite agitated. I discovered Wheeler's telephone number in our address book.
Hello?
I'd like to speak to Mr. Wheeler, please.
Speaking.
This is Peter Wilson.
Peter Wilson?
Margaret Johnston's brother.
Oh, yes. Good morning. What can I do for you?
I'm anxious about my sister. She has not returned home.
Not returned? I don't understand.
Wasn't my sister due to see you yesterday? She told me she was visiting you.
Yes, she was meant to meet me yesterday afternoon. I arranged to meet her at High Wycombe Station, but there was no sign of her.
Good heavens. I wonder what could have happened.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was going to telephone your house today. I hope she hasn't met with an accident or anything.
She might be lying hurt somewhere. I don't know what to do.
I suggest you get in touch with the police.
I telephoned our local police station and notified them that my sister was missing. The police...
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. We shall be calling the police officer in charge of the investigation. That is all. Thank you. Now, Mr. Wilson, when you telephoned my client, did he seem astonished and distressed at your sister's disappearance?
He appeared to be, yes.
Thank you. And it was Wheeler who suggested that you got in touch with the police.
Yes, it was.
Had he not done so, you might have spent hours attempting to trace your sister.
Possibly, yes.
Does that suggest the act of a guilty man, a murderer?
Objection, my lord. My learned friend ought to know better than to ask witness to pass judgment.
I withdraw the question, my lord. Now, prior to this trial, had you ever met my client?
Yes.
Often?
Once.
Would you tell the court the circumstances of that meeting?
He came to tea last March.
Another cup of tea, Mr. Wheeler?
No, thank you, Mrs. Johnston. I've eaten far too much cake for the good of my figure.
Oh, come, come. A young man like you, you don't have to worry about your weight.
I do, you know.
Youth. I begrudge you your youth, Mr. Wheeler.
32 isn't exactly young, Mr. Wilson.
It is when one's reached the 60s.
I told Mr. Wheeler about your first editions.
Are you interested in rare books, Mr. Wheeler?
Indeed I am. Your sister tells me that you have an original Smollett, that it needs repairing, and I know a chap in High Wycombe who can repair the binding for you in such a way that no one would be able to tell.
Oh, how kind of you. I would be awfully grateful. He took the book with him.
And so you found my client an agreeable sort of person?
At that time, yes.
What was the value of this Smollett you handed over?
Within the region of 500 to 600 pounds. First editions fluctuate violently.
Would you accept my word were I to tell you that according to Fletcher's catalogue, a Smollett first edition is worth over £1,000 today?
Oh, I'm delighted to hear it.
You are? So Wheeler returned this Smollett to you?
Yes.
Duly repaired?
Yes.
Did you see him?
No, I was out. He left the book with our servant, Rosie.
Did you acknowledge the receipt of the book?
Oh, yes, of course. I wrote a little note of thanks.
And in that note, you inquired as to the book renovator's fee.
I did.
What was the answer?
Mr. Wheeler replied that the cost was so little, he paid it and trusted that I would accept it with his compliments.
So it comes to this. If Wheeler was so desperate for £1,000, he could have sold your book. A far lesser crime than committing an act of murder.
I suppose so.
That is all.
I now call Detective Sergeant George Watson. Now, Sergeant Watson, you were placed in charge of the investigation concerning the disappearance of Mrs. Margaret Johnston.
Yes, sir, I was.
Now, I said disappearance advisedly. In other words, when it became clear that Mrs. Johnston had been murdered, the case was still in your hands.
Yes, sir.
Let us go back to the early stages of your investigation. It was the gardener, Mr. Saville, who was able to supply you with knowledge which proved valuable.
Yes, sir, it was. You see, as far as we could tell, he was the last person to see Mrs. Johnston leaving the house.
Yes, that's right, Sergeant. I asked the lady whether she'd like me to take her to the station in the car, but she said I wasn't to bother. It's only a quarter of a mile from the house.
Have you any idea where she was going?
To see Mr. Wheeler.
Is there anything else you can tell me that might throw some light on your employer's disappearance?
Oh, she said something about giving Mr. Wheeler £1,000 to buy some antiques and he putting it into a factory. And if her brother found out, there'd be dickens to pay.
So Wheeler came into your orbit almost from the beginning, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. As a result of my talk with Mr. Saville, I drove over to High Wycombe.
I'm absolutely shocked to find she's missing. A nicer person you could never wish to meet. So gracious, so charming.
What was the purpose of her visit, Mr. Wheeler?
She was coming to my cottage for tea.
Oh, for tea?
Yes, that's right. I'd arranged to meet the train. It gets in at High Wycombe at 2:45.
Wasn't she on the train?
No, I waited for her until well after the train had pulled out of the station, but not a sign.
So, what did you do?
Well, I went back to the cottage.
I see. Was there any special reason for Mrs. Johnston to visit you?
Yes. I have a lovely Tournai miniature that I wanted her to have a look at.
And how long have you known Mrs. Johnston?
About 7 months.
Where did you meet?
At the Contemporary Art Galleries.
I see. Did you see much of her?
Oh, 2 or 3 times a week. Oh, dear. I do hope she hasn't met with an accident.
Did Mrs. Johnston visit your cottage before?
No, never.
Do you know anybody who had any business dealings with her? I'm wondering if you might be able to put me on to somebody. She might have changed her mind, you see, and visited elsewhere.
No, I'm afraid not.
Didn't you have any business dealings with her?
Well, I've already told you she was going to look at the miniature.
And that was the purpose of her visit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that she had never been to the cottage before and I was returning hospitality.
What do you mean by that?
Well, she kindly invited me to tea and I returned the compliment.
Mr. Wheeler, I have been advised that there was some argument between you and Mrs. Johnston, that she handed over to you £1,000.
I wouldn't call it an argument. She got interested in my restoration factory.
And what on earth is that?
I've taken over an old barn, and we're making furniture in various periods of style. Louis XIV and that sort of thing. We're not faking antiques, don't misunderstand me. On the contrary, we want to show that our stuff will look just as good as an antique at a 20th of the price.
I see. And Mrs. Johnston invested her money in this?
Well, she gave me £1,000 to buy some antiques for her as a kind of investment. I thought that the factory would be the best investment.
As a result of that visit, did you suspect Wheeler, Sergeant?
It's difficult to answer that question on oath, sir. He seemed open enough about the money, yet my instincts told me that he knew more than he pretended.
And what else did you learn?
Both the High Wycombe station guard and station master signed statements to the effect that they saw an elderly lady answering to Mrs. Johnson's description alighting from the train.
I see. Anything else?
I learned that the lady waited at the station for some minutes and then proceeded to walk up the road in a northerly direction.
Would that direction be towards the accused's cottage?
No, sir. But she was walking in the direction of the High Wycombe post office.
And then what happened?
I obtained a search warrant and searched the grounds and the cottage of the accused.
Did you find anything, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Buried in the prisoner's garden was an empty purse belonging to Mrs. Johnson. Whilst in the furnace at the back of the cottage, we discovered dentures. Also buried were human bones, which we have reason to believe belonged to the unfortunate woman. We then took the accused into custody.
Thank you, Sergeant. That is all.
My Lord, I have not received from the Crown Solicitor proof of identification as to the dead woman's purse.
Is such proof available to the defense?
Yes, my lord. If my learned friend wishes to see it.
Then the court will adjourn while such vital exhibits are established as to identity.
And so the courts adjourn in the trial of Arthur Wheeler for the murder of Margaret Johnston. We should like to remind you that this dramatic presentation is brought to you by Bristol Myers. The judge takes his place on the bench and says,
"Are you now ready to cross-examine witness?"
"Yes, my lord. Sergeant Watson, no doubt it was on the basis of your findings that the public prosecutor took action against my client. What would you regard as the motive for the killing of Mrs. Johnston?"
"I'm not quite sure as to the basic motive. In any case, we were convinced that we'd have killed this lady, and that's all that concerns me."
"Really, Sergeant? Surely, as chief witness for the Crown, you are concerned to justify arresting this man? Wheeler is innocent until and if this court decides otherwise."
"Yes.
In fact, as far as you know, until the time of Mrs. Johnston's disappearance, my client had led an exemplary life."
"I know nothing to the contrary."
"You know that my client earned his livelihood by buying and selling objets d'art?"
"Yes."
"Have you been able to find anyone connected with these transactions who complained of Wheeler's business methods?"
"No, sir."
"Has anyone told you that they found my client to be honest?"
"Yes, some have said that."
"A remarkable tribute in this present-day world, don't you think?"
"Well, that's as maybe. The accused lied when he said he visited the station to meet Mrs. Johnston and she wasn't on the train."
"Please don't anticipate my question, Sergeant. I'm coming to that later. You know that there is a down train from London arriving in High Wycombe at 2:45... and an up train from Woodbridge reaching High Wycombe at 2:42.
"Yes, we discovered that."
"Sergeant, I have here a copy of the High Wycombe station master's log for the day, May the 14th. It says that the up train due at 2:42 arrived 3 minutes late. That is 2:45. Did you know that?"
"No. We are not concerned with the up train."
"But I am, Sergeant. I am. Because the 2:45 down train arrived at 2:42. Here it is in the log. My client swears that he arrived punctually at 3:15. This means that the train he saw arrive was not the down train conveying Mrs. Johnston. That had arrived, unloaded its passengers, and moved on. The train he saw was the up train."
"So he told us in a subsequent statement. We can find no one who saw Wheeler at the station. We don't believe he did meet her. We believe that she made her own way to his cottage."
"Sergeant, you are overstepping your duties as a witness. I'm not asking you what you believe or disbelieve. Kindly confine your remarks to answering my questions."
"I'm sorry."
"Is it not a fact that Mrs. Johnston called at the High Wycombe post office to ascertain the whereabouts of my client's cottage?"
"Yes."
"Does this not suggest to you that the lady was expecting my client to meet her? Otherwise, she would have obtained the address previously."
"She may have done, for all I know."
"You asked my client what he did after the train had pulled out of the station, and he replied that he went back to the cottage."
"Yes."
"Did you ask him whether he stayed in the cottage?"
"No, I did not."
"But surely that is important."
"With all due respect, sir, you must allow us to consider what is and what is not important."
"No, Sergeant. The public can allow the police no other rights than the right to see that the innocent are unmolested and the guilty punished. My client will say that after returning to his cottage, he stayed for about 2 minutes and then went fishing from Broccoli Point. Should this be the case, it would mean that the lady had walked in a direction opposite to the cottage, spoken to the assistant at the post office, then returned and wended her way to my client's place of residence. Would not this mean that she would arrive much later than my client?"
"If that was the case, yes."
"Have you been able to find anyone to refute Wheeler's statement that he was fishing at Broccoli Point?"
"No."
"Broccoli Point is a well-known boating and fishing spot, is it not?"
"I believe it is, yes."
"Hardly the sort of spot a man would use to fake an alibi."
"I don't have to comment on that."
"True enough. Do you know that we intend bringing a witness who will swear to seeing an unidentified man talking to Mrs. Johnston outside Wheeler's cottage?"
"Whoever you decide to bring as a witness, it won't shake me in my belief that Wheeler committed a brutal murder."
"How can you say otherwise, since you were the man who was responsible for his arrest?" "No more questions. I now call Mr. Archibald Strang." "Mr. Strang, you are a dental surgeon, are you not?"
"I am."
"And Mrs. Johnston was one of your patients?"
"She was."
"I want to refer to a cast of a denture you were shown by the police. Were you able to identify it?"
"I was."
"And can you say with certainty that this denture belonged to your patient?"
"Absolutely certain."
There were certain characteristics which prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the denture was the one I made for Mrs. Johnson.
Can you justify that?
Yes. You see, when a patient wishes to have a dental plate made, we first make a mold of the mouth. The plate is then cast in this mold, and the mold is kept in case the plate has to be replaced later. There is no question but that the dental plate was the one I made for Mrs. Johnson some 3 years ago.
Thank you, Mr. Fang. That is all.
No more questions, my lord.
I now call Sir Morris Newcomb. Sir Morris, you are a senior pathologist at the Home Office?
I am.
You examined certain bones discovered by the police when digging in the garden adjoining the cottage occupied by the accused.
Yes.
They were human bones?
Yes, the bones belonged to a female in her late middle years.
Thank you, Sir Morris. Were you able to determine how long the bones had been interred in the earth?
Not with any exactitude. We would say that the bones had been buried from 2 to 7 days.
You know, of course, Mrs. Johnson was missed on the morning of the 15th, and these bones were discovered on the 19th of May.
So I've been given to understand.
Would your findings be consistent with the bones being buried on the afternoon of the 14th of May?
Most certainly.
Thank you. That is all.
Defense?
No questions, my lord.
That closes the case of the Crown, my lord.
Does the defense wish to call any witnesses?
Yes, my lord.
With the court's permission, I would like to call Jacob Black. Mr. Blagg, what is your occupation?
Well, sir, I'm what you might call a gentleman of the road.
In other words, you have no fixed occupation.
That's right, sir. I goes where me fancy takes me.
Now, Mr. Blagg, I want you to cast your mind back to Thursday, the 14th of May. You were in High Wycombe that day.
Yes, sir, I was, yes.
Now, I understand that at approximately 3 p.m, you were standing outside High Wycombe Post Office.
That's right, sir. I was offering merchandise to them that chose to buy. You know, some laces, that sort of thing.
Then what happened?
Well, a lady comes out of the post office and strike me pink. She presses 2 shillings in the palm of her hand. Of course, I didn't want to take it, but she was insistent. So I didn't want to offend her.
Quite. And now look at this photograph. Is this the lady?
That's her. Now they say she's passed on, poor thing. But she did her one good deed. She saved me from a night in the ditch.
You say that this lady gave you some money and then walked out?
Yes, sir.
Did you see this lady again?
Yes, sir. That same afternoon I saw her.
Where?
She was standing by a cottage talking to someone.
Now have a look at this photograph. Do you recognize the cottage?
Oh, yes, sir, yes. Yes, that's the one she was standing at.
Was she talking to a man?
Yes, she was.
What time was that?
Oh, I can tell you that easy, sir. You see, I looked up at the church clock just then. It was 3:30.
I see. Would you recognize the man if you saw him again?
Yes, sir, I would.
I've just shown you a photograph of the cottage occupied by my client. Now then, Mr. Black, this man you saw talking to Mrs. Johnson, do you see him in court?
No, sir.
Are you sure, Mr. Black?
I'm certain of it, sir.
Take a look at my client in the dock.
Oh, no, it wasn't him. No, I swear to that.
What happened then, Mr. Black?
I saw the two of them walk into the house. And then I went on my way, so to speak.
So they walked into the cottage. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Mr. Black. How old are you?
I'll be 72 come next Michaelmas.
And how long have you been a gentleman of the road, as you call it?
Quite a long time.
How long?
I don't know what you're getting at, mister. I'm not going to no home. I'm not. They tried that lot on me before. Blooming institution.
Black, do you know the Summerfield home?
Now, don't you bring that up.
How long were you at Summerfield?
Tried to tell me I was off me rocker. But they couldn't get me certified. They had to let me go.
You were in the Summerfield mental home for 2 years and then discharged, is that right?
What's that got to do with it?
Mr. Black, how do you come to give evidence in this case?
Because I read about it. So I wrote to that gentleman over there. Because I don't like to see people being persecuted when they're innocent.
That is all, Mr. Black. Who is to know the underlying motive for this horrible and fiendish murder? For murder, this 60-year-old lady was without any shadow of doubt. And who else had the slightest motive for killing and then dismembering a charming personality that walked, talked, and enjoyed her full 60-year-old life? What more proof can you ask for than that which has been provided during this trial?
Cunningly, the Crown sweeps the question of motive aside. I ask you, gentlemen of the jury, how could the death of this lady have helped my client to extricate himself from his financial difficulties? The Crown chose to pour scorn on the old gentleman who, despite everything, gave his evidence clearly and well. Discount his sworn statement at the peril of your conscience.
Well, you have heard all the relevant facts. Would you say that Arthur Wheeler was guilty or not guilty of the murder of Mrs. Margaret Johnston? In just a moment, we will bring you the verdict recorded in the actual trial upon which this dramatic presentation is based. Well, what was your verdict? In the actual trial, the prisoner, Arthur Wheeler, was found guilty of murder.
Bristol Myers, makers of new Volt toothpaste, hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation of Consider Your Verdict, produced by Michael Silver. On Friday evening at 8:30, you're invited to listen to Medical File, another great dramatic series also brought to you by Bristol Myers. So, goodbye until next Tuesday, when it will be time once again to take your place on the jury of... Consider Your Verdict.